Can't See Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. And right now, it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
Thank you very much, Kevin. I really do appreciate the introduction. However, we need to send it over to the Kevin Hagelin news desk, where we have some very sad breaking news.
Dolly Parton has passed away at the age of 80. Most recently, obviously, performing for the Dallas Cowboys at halftime. I know Jerry Jones was freaking amped about that. The writer or performer of like 8 million super popular songs. An actress from 9 to 5, the best little whorehouse in Texas. She could do it all.
I think she was Hannah Montana's grandma.
Is that right?
On the show.
I assumed. Yeah. I don't think I ever saw that show.
Dolly's been like a significant confidant for a lot of young artists. And she's got a fascinating story of everything that led to this. I know also, was she on Fallon or something where she was talking about, maybe it was Colbert, talking about Dollywood and how they buried a time capsule in Dollywood with a song that she wrote.
Oh, okay.
And she was like, I kind of want to dig it up because I want to see it hit the charts before I pass away. And she was, you know, she was always funny, was full of jokes. But I think one of my favorite stories, and if you go look at the behind the scenes story on I Will Always Love You, all right?
Yes.
I Will Always Love You is a song that she wrote that had a different meaning for the time. She wanted out of a contract. This is what I saw her talking about. She wanted out of a contract that she was on with a TV show. And the guy was like, no, no, no. He wouldn't let her go. And she was like, I'll tell you what, I'll write this. She wrote it for him, sang it to him, and he was in tears. And he said, okay, you can go.
Wow.
And so, you know, that song became, and I think Elvis came to her and said, hey, I want this song. And she said, no, this is my bread and butter. This is going to make me. And he was like, I'll give you all this money for it. And she was like, no, this one's going to be big. And then Whitney Houston does it. And she said
it was the biggest song in the world.
She said she was driving down the highway when she heard it. And she pulled over off the highway and parked in like some Walmart parking lot and just listened to it and was in tears because she was like, it was so gorgeous. So just a big proponent of that industry. And she's Miley Cyrus's goddaughter or godmother in real life. So that was one of the reasons too. Yeah. She was a great entertainer, dude. Great entertainer. My niece loves her. Lucy loves her, too, because of that. So that's a sad moment, man, to lose the great Dolly Parton.
I feel like pretty much everybody knows her.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, and I'll be honest. Like, as a kid, I knew her for one reason. There was this, like, she jumped off the screen for a very particular reason. And then you listen to her songs, and you're like, oh, man. She is a fantastic songwriter. What an entertainer altogether. And I know a lot of people were stoked that she was doing that Thanksgiving game.
Yes.
Like a lot of people were
stoked. I'm telling you, I'm not kidding. Jerry was pumped.
Yeah, he was giddy about that. We somehow transitioned professionally from that. And you know me, professionalism is the key point for me, Kevin.
True.
Into the level of concern here. On the
oh man,
Kevin, I got a text. My level of concern right now that an FC Dallas player is throwing out the first pitch for the Texas Rangers on August 31st, which is the night that I'm supposed to be throwing out the first pitch for the Texas Rangers, which is August 31st. Your level of concern that I'm not actually throwing out the first pitch on August 31st.
See, it's 2,000 pounds. We're going the max ton right here. And I will also tell you, we are having Nolan Norris on the show tomorrow. And I want this to be a delightful interview, but will it devolve into an argument?
Do I reply back? I'm supposed to be throwing out
you
that first pitch.
You should. Will it devolve into an argument about who's throwing the first pitch? And Alec, let me ask you this. Let's say it was Corey and Nolan Norris. Would you want to throw first or second? Were you like, no, I'm the main event. I'm going on last. Or would you want the first crack at it? And you're like, nailed it. Beat that.
I want the first one. I want to set the tone. All especially right. Corey's been practicing. He's been keeping the arm warm. Mm-hmm. I want him to throw it middle and say, ha, you can't do that.
Actually, I had to ice the elbow a little last night.
Oh.
You know, just make sure we're got all the lactic acid out.
Mm. Gotcha. Gotcha.
So, I don't know what they're, I don't know what's happening here, but I guess we'll see. Derek, I wonder, Derek Holland's texting right now, too. Let's see what he has to say.
Are you just, is this segment just going to be you reading off your text message?
He said, I got you, bro. I don't. Is he going to take out the FC Dallas guy? Is that what he's saying?
Oh, no.
We'll see. We'll
and
see.
Also, did FC Dallas know this? And that's why they booked
they're
him?
Like, hey, hold on.
And they're like,
let's get in on this real quick.
Just think about all the things that are now happening. Man. So tomorrow, we've got Skip Schumacher on the show at about 12:22. He was going to give you some insight about how to throw the first pitch. Then an hour later, we've got Nolan Norris on the show, who is allegedly also throwing the same pitch on the first night and the same night as you are.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like we have some conflicts of interest.
And if they say throw them at the same time, I'm just going to have to throw harder, you know? Just throw harder. And you know, mine got there first.
Right.
Even though you're a prime athlete and you're prime or whatever.
Sure.
So, yeah, we'll see. Somebody texted, I have tickets for the first, so move it to the first, Corey. We'll see. Man. We got to make it a...
Nolan Norris is 21, so he's got some. He's got an age advantage.
I got men's tea.
That's a good point.
So your level of concern...
High.
...that might be hot forever. It was supposed to rain today, and it's still 104 degrees is the high, Kevin.
Man, okay. That's some bull crap, all right? That was the whole part of why people like rain at a certain point. You're like, hey, then maybe it'll only be upper 90s. I still submit that we are being punished for an easier than usual May and June. And the sun was like, you just wait. We're going to crank it up. So here, can I ask you a question about that?
Oh, yeah.
All right. In the future, usually it's like, you know, pretty dang hot. June, July, August, September, you drift into sometimes of oppressively hot. Would you like going forward an easier June than usual and then you get the soul-crushing August, or would you like it to just be hot, hot, hot the entire time?
I'll take
102 hot.
I'll take the easier June.
I think that's where I'm at too.
Yeah, I'll take an oppressively hot summer. I like the heat. I do. But, you know, it was when I went to throw in the cage last night, it was 99 degrees outside. And it was 8:30, I think. So, like, that's hot at a certain time of day.
That's too damn
there
hot.
I am in the dark trying to throw because I'm trying to avoid the sun. So, that happens, though. Are you
going to ask Nolan Norris if he's been throwing in the cage?
Be like, dude, go kick the baseball. You know, that's your kick. You kick guy.
Oh, hold
you're
on.
You're kicking guy.
New thought.
He kicks me the ball, I catch it and throw it home.
You're throwing the first pitch.
Double play.
He's doing the first kick. And he's going to kick the baseball from the mound to the catcher. Would that be okay with you then?
He can kick it from second base to me. I'll relay it home.
All right.
SEC, Kevin, released a press release this morning that said, hey, college athletes, not former professional athletes, have been at the heart of the Southeastern Conference. Individuals who choose to leave college athletics, sign professional playing contracts, and compete professionally should not then be permitted to return to college competition. Allowing it's going to cause a blur between college and professional sports, create significant competitive equity concerns, and reduce opportunities for high school and current college athletics. So this is crazy. The SEC, who did nothing to stop this, is now...
And they have an active team that is taking these players.
Put on their Superman cape and said, "We got this should not ever happen."
No, I really think the SEC, it's one. It's almost zero because the SEC has got this right. Think about it. In the NFL, you go sign a contract to play for a particular team for a particular amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in the SEC, you go sign a contract to play for a particular team and a particular amount of money. I guess now that you mention it, it's exactly the same. And the SEC should shut the hell up. By the way, SEC, one of your schools took the first player. Brought us in yesterday. We'll take them all. What are you even talking about? And the Big Ten's like, we're not going to allow it. Yeah, I'll bet you they're right. They're not going to allow it until if they get smoked by other conferences. And they're going to be like, you know what? We thought about it. It's best for the kids. Don't pretend like you're doing this because you believe in anything.
Your level of concern that Lane Kiffin is a super spy. Brett McMurphy tweeted out yesterday. Walker Jones, executive director of Grove Collective, said Ole Miss had FBI sweep the building for bugs after Lane Kiffin left for LSU. Walker was looking under his desk when someone asked what he was doing, and he said, just trust me, you don't know this guy like I did.
What?
Lane Kiffin bugged all of Ole Miss. Your level of concern that that actually happened, and Lane Kiffin is a super spy.
Okay, I the first part, 1,500 pounds. The second part, zero. I do not believe Lane Kiffin would be a super spy. I just think it would be paranoia, and that would be about it. But I am intrigued by this idea. Like, I've seen too many movies where don't you keep waiting for somebody to come out and say, but I've also been in MI6. Or in the CIA, like while they were your second grade teacher,
yes.
Or whatever.
Yeah, I can see it.
And it kind of goes with the 21 Jump Street discussion that we just had.
They just know the Red Dawn back and forth. You know?
Yeah, so
or
I don't.
Red Sparrow.
Have you ever seen Red Dawn?
Mm-hmm.
It's not great, but it's entertaining for sure. I don't think he's a spy, but I definitely believe he would bug places that he worked or lived.
Kevin, golf, hand, foot, mouth. Or tricking a family?
Tricking a family?
Somehow. A middle-aged woman, Kevin. Convinced an entire family that she was their 12-year-old adopted child. A woman in her late 30s has been convicted of fraud using a false identity after posing as a 12-year-old girl and living with a foster family that took her in for more than a year. According to the release, Maria Sousa de Oliveira was taken in by a family in Joinville after posing as a 12-year-old girl with a history of abuse and health problems. The family treated her as a daughter, housing her food, medication, other care for the next 14 months, per the court. The scam enabled Oliveira to gain financial advantage as the family was fully covering for her living expenses during the time she lived with them. And the court also took the emotional and family impacts of the situation into account in its decision to punish her. But yeah, dude, look at this lady.
Wow.
She was acting as a 12-year-old.
What?
Your level of concern.
That lady is 48.
38, actually. She was 38.
Well, she looks older than that, too.
The level of concern, the more people are going to try and abuse this system.
Pretty high. I'm going to say just a little bit higher than Lane Kiffin bugging all the houses. So give me 1,600 pounds. That's concerning. And that's just sorry, man.
Yes.
Like, what are you doing? So somebody's in foster care or adoption, and they're helping out with these kids, and you're like, perfect for scamming. That's terrible.
All right. I got more, but Kevin, we have run out of time because we were so enthralled with the conversation today.
Yeah. Look, if you like Red Dawn, that's fine. I don't think it's great, but it is very entertaining.
It sounds like we have some conversations to have with FC Dallas and the Texas Rangers here in just a little bit.
Wolverine. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's do some NFL overreaction or reality right here on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. In case you missed the breaking news from about 25 minutes ago or so, Dolly Parton has passed away at the age of 30, at the age of 80, star of Scream, singing, songwriting, performing for the Cowboys, just unbelievable entertainer. Now, let's fire up some NFL overreaction or reality. And we start with this. NFL overreaction or reality. The Cowboys offense will be even better in 2026. Now, they were second in yards per game last year, which is great. But they were seventh in points per game last year. So I think a lot of room for improvement for this group at that level. So overreaction or reality, the Cowboys offense points wise, let's say, will be even better this season.
I'm glad you said points wise because there's a lot of different ways to describe a better offense, but
ultimately,
points is what matters to us. Now, I don't know if there will be more points, but I'm hoping they're more efficient points-wise. Now, I also do think that the defense is going to be better, which should allow you more opportunities to score. So if you're more efficient with your scoring and you have more opportunities, then your numbers should be up. You should be the highest scoring offense of all time, if that's the case. But I do think that this offense will be able to score and score often. We do need to look, though, Kevin, at the amount of top 10 defenses they might play this year, because that has been a real struggle for Dak-led offenses over his career, is when he goes up against those types of defenses.
Right.
And they do things that are just tougher for him and the offense in general. So I think they will, Kevin.
Okay. NFL overreaction.
Yards don't matter.
I mean, sorry, yeah. I'm with you on that. Whenever people are like, they have the best offense in the NFL, you're like, that's stupid. When you just look at yards as your metric. All right, Alec, we go to you. Overreaction reality. The Cowboys offense will be even better points per game wise than they were last year. 27.7 points per game, seventh best in the NFL.
Which I'm not mad at that at all, but I do think it's a reality, because I think one thing that we've talked about a lot, the coaching staff has addressed too, and I think it will be fixed, is some of the red zone play calling. I think you are going to see some more simple concepts when it comes to, hey, there's 6 points within two or three plays right in front of us. Let's not get too cute. And I think they rely on the run game a little bit more whenever they are in prime scoring opportunities. And Shoddy said it himself, we picked on him a little bit for it last year, the conservative nature of his play calling once he got past the midfield logo. It was a very true thing that I feel like they're going to show some more aggression early on.
NFL overreaction or reality, J.J. McCarthy won't even end up being the Vikings' backup quarterback this season.
Reality.
Oh, man!
I don't know who they have like as a better option. But
Carson Wentz.
Carson Wentz is a damn fine backup, dude.
He could have won MVP that one year.
Or that one game that he played where he got leveled like 700 times and was still launching the ball. And I was like, oh my gosh, every time he throws, he gets hit. No wonder J.J. McCarthy doesn't want to play football for this team. I think they brought in Kyler for a reason. They didn't believe in J.J. McCarthy, that he would be mentally prepared for the job or that he can do the job. And then all of a sudden, I think we all thought, well, Kyler's not going there to be a backup and nor have a true competition.
For sure.
And so that immediately came in. Now, what I don't know is Kyler will be willing to teach, or if that's not his job. Hey, I'm not here to teach you how to play quarterback. I'm still trying to learn this thing. And maybe that is setting up for the future. But, I don't think he's long for this team anymore, man. And that's weird for him being such a high draft pick.
Alec, overreaction or reality, J.J. McCarthy won't even end up being the Vikings' backup quarterback.
Overreaction, he will be. And I don't think he should be. I don't think he's very good at this football thing. But I think there's reason for the Vikings to wait and wait and wait. In case something happens to Kyler, then at least you have somebody in the building that already knows the system, has been there for a couple of years now. But on top of that, I don't think there's any true value for him right now. You need to force the need first. So maybe it's a trade deadline thing. Maybe it's in the offseason. Somebody realizes, hey, we're not going to get one of these top 6 quarterbacks in the first round of next year's draft. We may as well take a flyer on a mid-round pick and get a guy that still has a couple years of control left.
Now, this one I actually saw on ESPN and it made me chuckle. Overreaction or reality, the Cleveland Browns hate their fans. You can interpret that however
you
want.
I think it's an overreaction. Okay. I don't think they hate. Hold on, are you talking about the players or the ownership?
The organization and their ownership.
Dude, I guess they did take the team from them once.
Good point. I think this is a different group.
And they keep giving. Their name's the Browns, bro. So fair. I'm just going to say it. They keep giving them garbage quarterbacks. Like, name a quarterback. They probably played for the Browns at one point.
Yeah.
And like they're just always. They had Nick Chubb, dude. They have Myles Garrett. They have the first pick or the top 3 pick perpetually, almost every year. And they cannot build a team. You know what, Kevin? I think it's true. I think that's a reality.
Oh, you changed it. I like it.
They hate the city anyway, which it's a nice city, actually. I like it up there. Cleveland's not too bad. And then they hate their fans. They hate the people there.
Alec, overreaction or reality to you? The Cleveland Browns hate their fans.
Reality, if you employ
yes!
if you employ one or both of Andrew Berry and Deshaun Watson, then you clearly are sending a message that you don't care what anybody thinks.
Man, they sure do not care what anybody thinks. All right, overreaction or reality, you are surprised that the George Pickens contract ended up being nothing this training camp.
Media tried to make it that, though.
They did nothing. And I love it.
Overreaction.
Ooh, okay.
Thanks to Kyle Yeomans. Once Kyle Yeomans, who now is having so much fun in Baltimore.
Good for him.
Oh, it's great for him. He made us calm down that day that we were kind of panicking because everybody was like, it's not signed yet. When are they going to sign it, though? And they're like, he could back out at any moment. And he was like, I don't know, dude. I think he just all he has to do is be there to sign it. There's no DocuSign, as Mickey says.
But even after that, I still thought, I thought it was going to be an issue somehow, some way, and it's nothing.
Part of you kind of surprised Mickey knows what DocuSign is. Just saying.
That's fair. I would have to lean towards reality
on that.
But he dropped
that on us the other day. I was like,
sorry, Mickey.
Huh.
That's probably fair.
But then once that happened, I was like, you know what? Once, and then he showed up and signed it. I thought to myself, dude, I really think that he's trying to play this right. And that Rich Paul, not Rich Paul, David Mulugeta, did not like the way that that Micah and everything went down with the Cowboys. And he would not like that to be on his reputation. And George, what do you want your reputation and legacy to be?
Right.
And do you want it to look like that or this? And you know what? If you're loved in Dallas, even if you leave and go somewhere else, they'll still love you if you go out there, ball out, and then get a contract somewhere else. And you can live in Dallas forever after you're done. So, yeah, I'm not surprised about it, Kevin, because the reality is there are some positive things for you if you play the cards right.
NFL overreaction or reality to you then, Alec. You were surprised that the George Pickens so-called contract drama ended up being nothing during training camp.
Overreaction. Okay. I don't know. I don't even have a good answer as to why. I think it probably is like Corey was saying. I think the agent was like, that was a headache. I'd rather not. That'd be pretty cool. And the basic idea of knowing that if he plays even at the level that we expect, he doesn't even have to exceed that, he's going to get paid. Because guys like Zay Flowers are getting paid more than they probably should.
Right.
Imagine what the number is going to end up being for Pickens if he goes over 1,000 yards, even at bare minimum.
NFL overreaction, go ahead.
3-2-1. I don't think he would be as successful if his name was Poor Paul. Your thoughts, Kevin? Rich Paul is a very defining name.
I would scale him down at least 5% of success.
As soon as he walks in, he goes, hi, I'm Rich Paul. And you're just like, I'm Rich.
That's my guy.
Kevin.
You're like, I'm never going to excel with Poor Paul. That's why I wanted to name our son Mr. President. And so, because everyone would have to say Mr. President.
He would think that way.
Yeah, but unfortunately, that was vetoed.
Sorry.
All right, this one comes with additional information.
All right.
Cam Ward has 25 dropbacks this preseason. He has zero completions for longer than 7 yards in the air.
Something bad's going on there, dude.
He's 0-for-6 on those passes. Last year, he ranked dead last in completion percentage on passes of more than 7 yards in the air. 36 out of 36 qualifying quarterbacks at 43% on 7 yards. Overreaction or reality, Cam Ward can excel throwing the ball hard, far.
I don't know.
Got to pick a side.
I'm going to say he can't. You said he can't?
Can't.
Reality. Right now. It doesn't look like he can. And reading it downfield is a big deal for him. He still looks kind of lost what I've seen of him so far. And I think Brian Daboll is a decent offensive coordinator. But I was wrong about him as a head coach in that crappy system they had up in New York with Shine. So, yeah, man, I think you're right.
Alec, Overreaction or reality? Cam Ward cannot excel throwing the ball far.
Overreaction, guys. Come on. What are we doing here? Remember, he
said your team.
He's just got to figure it out. Once he figures it out, the league is effed. He said that. Go look it up. But no, I do think he actually has a group of brain trusts that kind of cares more and wants to see him succeed in that regard. They need him to figure out the downfield passing game if they want any kind of success this year. So I think it's going to be one of those things, kind of like Josh Allen. I'm not saying he's going to be Josh Allen, but rookie year Josh Allen, all over the place. You didn't know what was going to happen when he dropped back and uncorked the ball. But then he makes those little adjustments, he gets coached the right way, and it's like, okay, the potential was always there, he just had to be steered in the right direction.
I'm the only concern there, and I think you're right, because the steering in the right direction was with the right people. My only concern is that he got bad habits that he can't correct. And if those things don't work themselves out very fast, it could be a bad thing for him.
Overreaction or reality, Nick Sirianni is the best head coach in the NFC East.
I mean, he has a Super Bowl.
That he does.
No. I'm going to say no.
What? Who's the best?
Shoddy.
You don't believe it.
I mean, John Harbaugh has a Super Bowl, too.
True.
Do we think he's the best?
Nope.
I'm going to say shoddy. He's the best in my heart.
But what about in your brain?
My heart keeps saying, shut up, brain. So.
All right.
Go birds.
Alec, overreaction or reality?
What are you doing here? Trying to put us in this situation? Are you going to say Sirianni?
Oh, I think I have to abstain from this question as the moderator. No, okay, I will. It's a reality.
Oh my gosh!
Overreaction or reality? You should accept it. Right now, Nick Sirianni is the best head coach in the NFC East.
Overreaction. What does he do?
Who is it then?
What does he do? I think it's shoddy. I do, because we know what he does.
So you
and he does it at a high level.
The guy who missed the playoffs his first year is a better head coach than the guy who won the Super Bowl?
I think that the guy that won
first year?
I think the guy that won the Super Bowl got handed everything.
Okay.
Hold on, did you say best coach or head coach?
Best head coach.
Oh, okay. Because I was gonna say maybe it's Christian Parker.
Oh, could be. All right.
Oh, it's a big Fangio if we're doing that.
When you say handed everything, don't we not think his quarterback is that great and he still figured out a way to win a Super Bowl?
I think Howie Roseman figured out a way to put together a team that could win a Super Bowl. I seriously think that
if you want to have the conversation of the best GM, then Howie Roseman's won that easily.
I think he's in the mix. All right. So bonus question then. Overreaction or reality, Dan Quinn is the worst head coach in the NFC East.
I think this might be a reality. I wonder if Dan Quinn is surface level and everything is kind of like, hey, he's cool. He said the F word. He has his hat on backwards. And then beyond that, it's like, hold on, but what kind of adjustments really work there? And I think Shoddy is genuine. I really do. I mean, we've heard from Shoddy a lot. I think he's a genuine dude. And I wonder if Dan Quinn is kind of like, we've already seen him fail as a head coach before.
Sure. By the way, you'll hate the first part and like the second part. SB Nation, they ranked the NFC East head coaches. They have Sirianni first, Harbaugh second, Quinn third, and Shoddy fourth. One of the first comments says Sirianni is a coordinator merchant. And so I just really thought that you would like that, Alec. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Rocker nods, goes overhead with the wind, and the 3-2. Swing and a miss, he struck him out. Got him with a fastball. So Murakami out on strikes. That's the game's first strikeout.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now, courtesy of D&M Leasing. It is time for our chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is you today?
Amazing, Hagee. How are you?
I am also doing well. Was it just a spirited discussion out there? Was there some semblance of an argument happening?
We were fighting. Brian and I have just been at each other's throats for the last, 24 hours about this 53-man roster projection. How many wide receivers are you keeping?
Are you six or not six?
I'm nining.
Okay.
Is Devin Moore going to make the team? Like, there's a lot of questions.
How many
out
offensive
there.
Linemen are you keeping? I think I'm leaning six. I think I am. But here's the thing. I'm trying to trade Kevontae Turpin. I asked Brian, check with the Gang of Seven. Does Turpin have value? He told me the gang got back to him and said he does have value.
They have value.
So it's like, who on this roster can I move and get something quality for? And if Turpin's a guy who on his resume says he's an all-pro kick returner, I need a way. Am I better off keeping Kevontae Turpin as a wide receiver on this football team, or am I better off keeping Camden Brown?
Mm-hmm.
And who's going to do more for me in the regular season if somebody were to go down or they got to get elevated on the depth chart? I think Kevontae Turpin is a wide receiver that can do specific things. And yes, the speed element's there, but he had all of two touchdowns last year on offense. So I don't know that they're really getting the most out of him as a receiver. Is it better for me to go ahead and try and pick up another corner or another offensive lineman or name the position? Or could I get a day two pick for him, whatever it ends up being? And that way I've got five wide receivers still, but I'm now trading a guy that I've got a surplus for and acquiring an asset that can help me out, whether it's in the draft or whether it's on my roster right now. So that's what I'm looking for, because I think that you'd get more for him than you would somebody like a Camden Brown or a Jonathan Mingo.
Wow, that's fun.
I
that's
love
fun
that
conversation
insight.
Right there.
I really
Our show
really
is
do.
Not a cookie cutter show. We're going to talk about different things.
You know, okay, Brian,
we're going to make you think. We're going to trade quarterbacks. We're going to try and find a way to trade offensive linemen if we can.
We're going to keep two tight ends on the roster.
We're not going to sit here and just talk about, well, we're going to keep six, and we're not going to do that.
Okay.
We're not going to do that. We're going to figure out ways to like make this roster better.
Can I ask you a question about then?
Sure.
Would you consider, because you know Shoddy was like put into bed, any talk about Marquise Bell not making the
team? Okay, here we go. Marquise Bell.
Here we go.
Marquise Bell is evidently going to take over the C.J. Goodwin spot. If you were thinking about keeping this six wide receiver, if Brown was going to make this team, why don't you just not dress him? Do the same thing you did Bell.
Yeah.
They're obviously trying to figure out what's happening with Brown. They need Brown to play special teams. They need Brown to do a lot of things. They need Mingo to do a lot of things.
Yeah.
They're trying to figure out these things. I was shocked that they didn't dress Bell. But if they're going to tell me that, okay, now that means you have to carry an extra roster spot. By the way, if we're going to carry this third quarterback thing, this emergency quarterback, we're going to have to carry him on the 53. So if you say, "Oh, we're going to go," that emergency quarterback thing won't count. BS. It counts on the 53-man roster. So when you start to do this, don't just think about the offense and all the players over there. Think about how it affects the defensive players.
Okay,
or vice versa.
And I also have a question about special teams then, because I know defensively he hasn't shown what it takes to make the roster. But when you hear about positives for Leafau on the special teams, is that something that you're creative?
How many of these dudes are we going to keep?
I know. That's
what I'm
saying.
How many dudes are we going to say, well, you know what? I believe it under the Bones Fossil administration. When there was like, oh, coach, we need to keep. I need these guys.
Yeah.
This Sorensen guy, he's got one foot in the parking lot as far as I'm concerned. Find a way to get these guys better. Coach them up better. We got better talent over there. Let's not be giving up big returns. Let's not be like not returning the ball ourselves. So we could talk about the Turpin stuff. You know, maybe if it doesn't work out there, then, hey, we got to look at the coach. But I'm just saying, how many of these special teams guys are special players you want to keep around?
Right.
How many extra tight ends? I mean, do you want to keep Trigg? You want to keep a four tight end?
I do not.
I mean, there's positions you just got to look at, and you can't act like fanboy or fangirl and say, wow, we can keep all these guys. No, you can't.
Well, and that's why I was curious about Leafau, because you guys were being, if you're going to be creative with your roster, I would wonder if that would lean
He could be a better player than Bell. If you told me we were going to keep a roster player and keep a guy on just to do special teams, Leafau gives me more of a thought of a special teams player than what you get out of Marquise Bell, who leads the team in penalties every year when it comes to
this. Well, then I like that, because as much as we get caught up talking about the offensive line, you're damn right special teams was an issue last year.
Big problem. Yeah. Coverage units were absolutely terrible. I'm with you. And I just think from a safety standpoint, I mean, I was shocked to see Bell not dressed and playing.
Right.
And when we asked Brad that in the pregame show, he said, well, maybe they know what they have in Marquise Bell, and they just want to see more of Elijah Clark and Julius Wood and some of these other guys. Well, then unprovoked, Shoddy brings up Bell and basically tells us he's made the team.
Now, Shoddy will also tell you, coach, who's playing well? He'll give you the roster.
Everybody. He said that the other day.
He'll give you the roster. Yeah. So is he saying this? He said this about Scantling. He said, oh, you don't know. He plays well on special teams. okay, coach, we get it. You're talking well about everybody. But you have 53 spots. That's it. And, you know, so the fact that I thought they didn't dress Bell because they were going to let him go. Like,
right.
Why get him hurt and make him all of a sudden be an injury settlement thing? That's what's going to happen to Benson in Arizona. They're going to come to an injury settlement. It's going to be a 3-game thing. Arizona's going to have to pay, and then he'll be on the waiver wire.
And for both Marquise Bell and Kevontae Turpin, if you move on, those hits are fairly negligible. So I think those are both in play. Mr. Chiafalo, Have you anxiously kept up with the Jed York updates of the day, as we now find out it was $160, thank you very much, well, not $140,
yeah.
But that
quality.
He
that's
attempted to contact this
sound
fake
like
prostitute.
SeatGeek.
Yes.
Yeah, we got a little add-on here.
He attempted to contact the fake prostitute.
Administrative
fee for handling the $150.
Three times, and then the trailer park manager came out and said it was a coincidence, and that they are not a den of prostitution, as was kind of insinuated yesterday.
Wow. Okay. Now this has been this is a lot of stuff. This is real time updates for me right now.
Yeah,
okay. So now the trailer park
came out because it was like it's a known den of prostitution. He was like, "This is a great place for families and everybody. This is a calm community."
One bad apple on a beautiful tree.
He said it was a coincidence that it happened at his trailer park or mobile home something.
Yeah. Do you know what happens in your neighbor's house all the time? I don't. I've never been in my neighbor's house. None of them.
Not even, you don't even have one neighbor?
Not in this current living situation, no.
Okay.
Back in the day, Mr. Knight and Mr. Getz and, you know, Mrs. Getz, they were great.
Yeah. They were
Mrs.
doing
Knight.
Some wild stuff,
Mrs.
too,
Knight,
though, weren't they?
She was
oh,
crazy,
Mrs.
dude.
Getz. She was a wild one.
Wild card.
Mrs. Getz.
Yeah. Mrs. Getz.
They were awesome.
You know what I'm saying.
She's the one that made the tea in the jar in the backyard. You know, she said it in the sun.
Oh.
Yeah, sun tea. Yeah. And I jumped over the fence, thirsty as hell. I was like, I'm not drinking any of this water hose water anymore. I'm going to get some tea. And I went over there and drank it. I was like, this is the most disgusting thing I've ever had in my life. And I almost poured it all out, but then I would have been caught, so. I didn't.
Was it nastier than the ice sparkling drink that got left out and turned into yellow colors?
It's still out there. I didn't even pick it up because I was scared.
Ooh,
but so I'm gonna take a picture and I'll send it to you guys.
Let's evolve the should I eat it to should I drink it?
Yeah, should I drink it? That's a good option right there.
Bring it in, dude.
That is a logical evolution.
Or we can throw it on the bet payoff board for this year.
Oh, I like that idea.
I'll send a picture after the show.
What do you find, fellas, got coming up on the program?
Pure Gold as always, Heggy. Thanks for asking. NFL MVP Sean Alexander, 5 o'clock.
Ooh.
Awesome. He's awesome. He's a great interview, man.
Sweetheart.
Roll home with the G-Bag Nation. We have been the KNC Masterpiece. Make your way back with us tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105.3 The Fan.
So here's the pitch, Kevin.
I will always love you. That's pretty good.